Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you. Titans and Jags. We'll have our game pick segment coming up in just a few minutes. And then Derek Mason, our own D-Mace, going to be in studio with us for the final 30 minutes of the show to get his perspective on this matchup. But we've talked about this, Michelle, a little bit this week, but it keeps coming up. How much does tomorrow matter for the big picture for the Tennessee Titans? And I have rattled around in my head this idea. There's a lot of ideas rattling around in my head, but this one in particular of, I don't think Vrabel's coaching for his job. He certainly should not be coaching for his job, but the owner threw us all a curveball earlier this year when she fired John Robinson midseason, which I believe did have an impact on what we've seen over the course of the last month or so. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that, even though I really, really don't believe it. But I do believe there are people in this organization fighting for a job, whether they're a player or a coach. And this game, to me, shouldn't matter to some of them. It will matter to some of them. And that is why we keep asking the question of how much does this game matter to the big picture? Tyron Davenport of ESPN, Titans NFL Nation reporter, was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this morning and was asked that same question.
You know, man, there's a different vibe in the building if you end the season on a 7-game losing streak. You see what I'm saying? So even if, let's say they win this game, they host a playoff game and they lose, at least you could say, hey, listen, you know what? We were able to salvage the season and still get the initial goal. That's what you could say to yourself. But if you collapse the way they did and continue that collapse into the off season, it's just a different taste in your mouth, and there could be even bigger changes, you know. So I think when you look at, obviously you want to make the postseason, right? And you get into the dance, you never know what can happen. I mean, look at that team in 2019, man. They made a run that no one predicted. So I think it is still something that they should go for, man. You know, you have a lot of people saying, hey, lose so that way you get a top 10 pick. Look, man, top 10 pick doesn't guarantee you an impact player. You're supposed to get an impact player in the top 10, but guess what? You're supposed to get an impact player in the first round, period. So, I mean, whether it's a top 10 or 26, whatever it may be, you still have a good chance of getting a solid player. So, yeah, I mean, a top 10 pick would give you a better chance, but I think, you know, what you have to look at overall is the vibe in the building, how you could change that and get that back on track.
That's Tyron Davenport earlier this morning. And I thought that the key phrase that really, really stood out to me, Michelle, was there's a different vibe in the building if you end the season on a 7-game losing streak. And that is 100% true. Because even if you make the playoffs and you turn around next week and get beat, at least you know, while the fan base will not maybe appreciate that as much, at least you can say, well, hey, we made the playoffs. So that was our number one goal. We won our third straight division. But if they lose and it's 7 in a row, I you know, going back to what I said about I don't think Vrabel's coaching for his job, you know, are we going to get another knee-jerk reaction from Amy Adams Strunk? You know, is she going to go, well, this can't happen. Let's just clean house. I think that'd be a terrible, 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 terrible mistake to do
that.
Add
another couple terrible in there.
But I've seen crazier things happen. You know, Vrabel either way, I believe, is going to have a different looking coaching staff next year. He just needs to. There are going to be players that either way are going to be gone. But, you know, does that is 7 in a row as opposed to another division title the difference in Tannehill and Henry being back, you know, of a full scale rebuild? This one game should not affect some changes, but will it affect others? That is the question.
Well, Mike Vrabel absolutely should not be coaching for his job this weekend.
Agreed.
I think that he should be the coach of this team for, you know, as long as he wants to be, bearing no I mean, foreseen circumstances. But, I mean, Chase, I think TD put it there pretty nicely. It will define the season. I think that it will define the season. You will either look at this 2022-2023 season either, well, you know what? They had a huge losing streak in the beginning or in the middle of the season, but they came out, they won the AFC South, and they got into the first round of the playoffs. Who knows where that goes from there? Or you look at this season and you say, you know, we had a 90% chance to win the division, and then we just lost 7 games in a row. We suck. I'm not excited for the new season. Get rid of everybody. That's going to be the fan view of it. That's how you're going to view it. But I think if you are the coaching staff, I think if you're management, you know, you look at it one of two ways is, okay, great, we prevailed. We ended up winning the AFC South again. But we still have some significant changes we need to make next season. I don't think that a Tannehill-Henry decision should be made based off this game. I think that there may be smaller players. There could be, you know, final straws for some players out there, depending on how they perform. But I don't think your big key players should be based off this one game. I also don't think that your coaches should be based off this one game. But like I said, is it the final straw for a guy like Todd Downing? This is not, depending on how he performs in this game, as far as the play calling, as far as how the offense looks as a whole, how we got them ready to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done other things to lead up to if you were to get fired.
Right. Like, that decision, in my opinion, has already been made.
They already know what's going to happen.
In Mike Vrabel's mind, that decision should already have been made, and that is, you know, if you lose on Monday, Todd, appreciate your work here, but we're going to be moving in a different direction. Or whenever the season is done, Todd, appreciate your work here, we're moving in a different direction. Same with Craig Aukerman. I think both, you know, should probably be looked at. Because here's the other thing, and I'm going to sound like Jared for a second, but special teams have just sucked. As a whole, the last few years, I mean, I know the return game is different nowadays, but you still got to have a punt return game, and they have hardly had that at all. You know, Randy Bullock's okay. I don't really hate on Randy Bullock. I thought it was a mistake moving on from Brett Kern. You know, I think Stonehouse has, again, been okay. I know he can bomb it, but, you know, he's not a directional punter like Kern was. So, you know, that's certainly something to consider and look at. But special teams needs to be addressed. I mean, special teams needs improvement. And, you know, we all go, oh, he's a special teams player. Special teams is important. It wins games. I mean, John Harbaugh was a special teams coach and is a Super Bowl winning head coach now. So, there are decisions that should have already been made, whether it's in somebody's head or there have been discussions or what have you. And I don't think there are too many that need to be made based on this game. I'm just asking, will they be? And that's a little bit of my concern.
I mean, I know the John Robinson firing seemed rash in the moment, but I think when we went through and we talked about it for as long as we did on our airwaves and kind of thought about all the different decisions that had been made, and we will never know the true reason, although I want to know so bad. I want to be like, just tell me why, right?
Oh, we'll learn more. He'll talk eventually.
Eventually, but nobody's ever going to know the true truth other than Vrabel, J-Rob, and Amy.
Sure, but I mean, things always find their way out if you know, if somebody wants them to enough. And
true.
And I could see that.
But
look,
if J-Rob wants another job in the league, I doubt he would, you know, say anything bad about.
Well, think about it this way. Let's say Jimmy Irsay calls him and offers him the GM job. You think if Jim Irsay let some of the Titans' dirt get out that he'd lose sleep?
No, but that's Jim Irsay. But also, too, John Robinson, I mean, just based off the way we've seen him
be a GM,
that's his reputation, sure. You know, depending on whether a owner wants to hire him or not, I mean.
And I said it after he was fired. I didn't agree with the decision at the time. Do I think he should have had a very thorough evaluation at season's end? Absolutely. But I can also sit here and say, and I mean, we'll never know the answer to this, I think it, had she waited, I don't know if they're on a six-game losing streak right now. I mean, look, they were playing poorly, and there are other factors other than him just being fired, but I do think it had some impact. But that's old news. We won't keep rehashing that. It just is what it is. Coming up next, we're going to give our game picks for this weekend. A lot of interesting NFL games on tap. We'll do that. And then Derek Mason at the bottom of the hour as you listen to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on Chase and Michelle, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with us. As we get ready for our game picks. Titans and Jags, of course, will be on this. I have, at the end of the old Chase William D. Mace, way back in the day, I would always give my tailor-made picks on Fridays. So, of course, we have to do a similar segment here. You all do the picks on Robbie and Rex Road. So this could be an evolving segment as we go along. I mean, obviously, we don't have too much football left. We'll get into some hoops and March Madness and things like that. See, I have a feeling I'm going to learn more about college basketball working with you. So,
I got you, Chaser.
So I am excited about that. So what I have done is I have selected a handful of games, and then you give us – we each can give a bonus game. Of course, all of these spreads coming from the Superbook Sports app. Our official sports book. Michelle and I use it religiously. So without further ado, hit the music, Nick. We start things off with a game that actually does have some meaning. The Rams taking on the Seahawks. Seahawks just need to win. They win, they're in. The Sunday night football game doesn't matter. But if they lose, there's a lot that could happen with that. The Rams getting 6 points on the road at Seattle.
So this one's an interesting one for me, and we all know if the Seahawks win, that means the Lions officially are eliminated. But the Rams with Baker Mayfield, they've been starting to figure out some things out. I think that the Seahawks will win, but I think the Rams will cover that 6 points. So give me the Rams plus the 6, Chase.
All right. So Michelle is taking the points. So I, too, am going to take the points. I like the plus 6, and I like everything you just said. Baker Mayfield has added a little bit of a spark to the defending Super Bowl champions, but I'll take it a step further. I think the Rams win outright. Give me the money line, plus 220 on the Superbook Sports app. But I think the Rams pull the upset and knock the Seahawks out. I mean, look, it's been an awesome season for Geno, and you know that just nobody saw that coming, but I think it ends on Sunday. All right, second game that I have. I mean, people are going to go, why is this game on your list? The Dolphins have just been on a just downward spiral. Looks like they won't have Tua again, but they're playing the Jets in Miami. Jets plus 2, they're going to go with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. Just a freaking awful game, but I had to pick it anyway.
Actually, I don't know if it moved since you last looked at it. I'm on Superbook right now. Jets plus 3 right now.
It has
now.
Moved.
So it has moved.
Yeah, it has moved. It has moved in 30 minutes since I looked at it. So, okay, Jets plus 3, which you're getting even money, too, on the Superbook Sports app if you take the 3.
Listen, I don't have faith.
Why did I pick this game? Why did you let me put this game
on? I don't have faith in the New York Jets. I mean, they've had a revolving door at the quarterback position. The Miami Dolphins do have the pieces to win. So I am going to take the Dolphins minus the 3. I think they end up winning this game. So give me the Miami Dolphins minus the 3.
All right. You take the Fins. Give me Flacco. I'll take the 3 points. I'll take them. I don't know if they'll win out, right? But I'll take the 3.
Robert Saleh, take the wheel.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'll go with. Again, why did you two let me pick that game? This is awful.
That's all right.
All right. Browns, plus 2.5 at Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday. And Pittsburgh's been interesting. And I know our man Junie Riddle is listening with bated breath, and we'll probably text us both, go Steelers.
Oh, yes, he will.
Here in just a second. But Browns getting 2.5 on the road at the Steelers.
Listen, Kenny Pickett he's figured some things out this year, and he looks like, you know, he still has a ways to go as a rookie quarterback, but I swear, Mike Tomlin figures out a way not to have a losing mm-hmm. season. I'm taking Pittsburgh minus the 2.5. I think they win at home. So give me the Steelers minus the 2.5. I think Kenny Pickett and Mike Tomlin figured out.
And the Steelers and Dolphins are still alive.
Correct.
So there are some things that would have to happen, but they're still alive, both at 8-8. Patriots are at 8-8 as well. So could be interesting there. So you are taking the Steel Curtain and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And Mike Tomlin, I trust.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going Steelers as well. You know, even though I think the Browns are going to be a good team moving forward, but obviously their quarterback situation this year kind of held them back. But I trust Mike Tomlin too. So in any time anybody says that he's coaching for his job, it's just silly. And I've been silly before.
Very, very silly.
All right, the Sunday night game. Now, if the Seahawks lose, like I say they're going to, there's a lot on the line in this game between the Lions and the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. Lions, plus 4.5 on the Superbook Sports app against Green Bay at Lambeau.
Listen, some may call me crazy.
You're crazy.
But I'm taking the Lions plus the 4.5. I know it's in Green Bay. I know that the Packers have looked like they are just on a tear right now and heading into the playoffs. But I think, you know, what would happen, and it would just be hilarious, is that the Seahawks win and then also the Lions win, so it doesn't matter, and they still wouldn't get into the playoffs.
Right. Like, this game literally can mean nothing.
It can mean nothing before they even get on the field. But I'm just picturing, like, Dan Campbell just motivating, you know, Jared Goff having just, like, an incredible game. So I'm taking the Lions plus the 4.5. I do think that Green Bay will end up winning this game, but I do not think that the Lions will make it easy for them.
Yeah, I can't say anything differently from what you just said. I trust the Lions. I trust Dan Campbell. I think they could be something moving forward. They seem to trust Jared Goff, which, I mean, why wouldn't you right now?
And listen, on our show, we did make fun of you and D-Mace, who's about to join us. We did make fun of you guys for picking the Lions for the playoffs.
D-Mace sitting back. I know he's back there right now. Hey, if the Lions make the playoffs, you best believe you're going to hear from Chase McCabe and Derek Mason.
Robbie Rex wrote, and I think we need to take you guys out for lunch or a drink or something, because Joe is still very confident they will not make the playoffs, but... You know, they got a lot closer than I thought.
I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. Derek is like an elephant. He never forgets. So
I love it. Listen, we hold those grudges here.
We do indeed. All right, before we get to Titans and Jags, give me another game that's not on this list.
Okay, so the next game that I am looking at for this weekend, let me find it really quick. It was just right there. I have got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Listen, Lamar Jackson is not playing. Well, okay. Lamar Jackson is still questionable, but I highly doubt that he will play this weekend. I know that this is a big spread, Cincinnati Bengals minus 10, and I know it's a divisional matchup. It's in Cincinnati. With all the good news that they've got about DeMar, you know, spirits are up around the league. But Cincinnati, I do think that they are going to thump the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're going to come out very strong. I think that they beat them by about 2 touchdowns.
Bengals by 30. T. Higgins balls out.
T. Higgins balls out.
Yep. He is going to be fantastic. So I like that one. My extra game to throw your way will be... Give me the Bills minus 7 big. Bills big.
Love that one.
Bills huge, and that knocks New England out. I mean, you already know that the Patriots are like, what? this could be interesting. But, yeah, I think Bills lay the 7, and they roll big.
Well, and we have one on the text line, Dan from Clifton Park. My stepdad will kill me if I don't read this. He said, New York Giants plus 14, all the pressure on Philly. Tyrod Taylor can make plays. In the last 30 years, the Giants have never been more than 11-point underdog versus Philly. That's an interesting stat he just threw out there.
You know what? I don't hate that one.
I don't hate that one either. We don't know about Jalen Hurts.
Give me the points. Yeah, well, Nick Sirianni did say he's trending towards playing. They're in a tough spot. Because of last week.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't play him. But the one seed is on the line, and the one seed could really matter in the NFC. Because if Philly loses and Dallas wins the division and the one seed.
And the one seed.
Yeah, so
We were talking about this earlier. Okay, so you play Jalen Hurts and say you win. Okay, then you get the week off because you're the one seed. But then if you don't play him, he still will have the week off, but then you'll have to play another game. So there's a lot of different scenarios. Basically, the best scenario for Philly would be you don't play him and you still get the win.
You know what's funny for Philly and Dallas? This is honestly like you're trusting your defense. What, are you going to punt it or are you going to go for it? Like, that's honestly what this is.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew. Listen.
Minshew mania.
Help him get the one seed.
All right. That leaves us to the Titans and the Jags. Titans +6.5 on the road at Jacksonville. This has pretty much been where it's at all week. It dropped to 6 at one point yesterday. Now it's back to 6.5. Michelle,
this one's easy for me. It was my lock this morning. It's been my lock all week. I've been saying it on our Superbook reads. Titans +6.5. I think that they make this game a close game. They love being the underdog. And Jeffrey Simmons talked this week. It's going to be a playoff environment in Jacksonville. Mia O'Brien from Jacksonville said it is going to be, you know, a packed game. Ticket prices are way up. I think the Titans thrive on that. I think that they cover the 6.5. But I do think that the Jags come out on top and win on the money line.
So Michelle has taken my my thoughts of good teams win, great teams cover.
Great
okay.
teams cover.
So I'll tell a funny story because I know at least one of them is listening. I do a podcast called Music City Bets with Ricky and Jill Jelmer.
Hi, Jill and Ricky.
From Fox 17. And we recorded a fantastic episode this week. Fantastic. Probably the best one we've ever done. You're probably not going to hear it because my mic didn't work. And so it's one of those things.
Murphy's Law,
whatever.
Whatever will happen,
will go wrong, will whatever it is. But, so the Titans +6.5. I agree with you. I will take that. The over is 40. Over-under is 40. I think it's got to hit for the Titans to win. So I take the over and give me the two-tone +240. Everything tells me they shouldn't win this game. Everything. So they will.
You know what they call that? They call that a Mike Vrabel special.
The Vrabel special. That is what it is. And Jared will tell everybody that he came up with that phrase, even though I'm pretty sure he didn't. But that's okay. So there you go. Those are our picks of Superbook Sports. That is where we got those lines. You should check it out. Coming up next, D-Mace is in studio with us for the rest of the show. We'll get his thoughts on this game. That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Mike, how much is the winning you guys have done the last few years and what you've been able to build in that locker room, how much does that matter, translate to a game?
Well, I don't think it matters, Joe. I think it matters, you know, the wins, the losses. I think it's just, you know, all really just comes down to how we play this week and whatever we did last week or 3 weeks ago, you know, whatever we did against Jacksonville. You know, you have to, you know, in this league, it's all about, you know, that game and how that unfolds and what transpires and how you take care of the football and how you can make the corrections. I think, you know, if we can do some things a little bit better, we'll give ourselves a chance to go win.
That's Mike Vrabel talking about the past and how much it matters or doesn't matter at all. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic with you, and we say hello to our man, Derek Mason. D-Mace.
What's going on?
What's
you heard
up?
The music. You heard
I know,
the music.
That is you. That is your.
It's my walking theme song in my head.
Yeah, your walk-up song. That's what it is.
You can't help but not do, Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. D-Mace and I are dancing. Chase is like all full professional mode. I can't stop moving my shoulders.
Well, I'm trying to fix something on the stream and multitask. And Derek's known me a long time and knows that I cannot multitask very well. But we're trying to make it work. But anyway, you hear that, and look, you've been in situations like this where, you know, it's the importance of the game. You got a playoff spot on the line, all of that, and the pass comes up. And look, this team has done some things in the past that are remarkable and should be, you know, applauded for it. But I said earlier that I don't think that matters. None of that matters. At this point, this is literally the James Franklin mentality of just go 1-0. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do. So do you think that anything that this team has accomplished in the past of situations like this should matter going into tomorrow?
You know, what is the saying? The best, I may butcher this, but the, what is it? The best indication of the future is you look to the past, something like that.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Titans' past, when they've been in situations like this, they've always fared well. Well, they fared well because to me, the personnel was a lot better. They had their starting quarterback underneath center. Their starting running back was healthy. And the offensive line was much different than what it is now. Now, the defense has, for the most part, they've always been a really solid, good defense. But the offense was capable of doing some things in the past. Now they're not capable of doing those things. And we hope they are. You know, now that Joshua Dobbs has, you know, was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks now in his system. So you hope that because of the veteran leadership that they have, that they've been in sort of situations like this, having to play tough games, that it will show on the field that they can keep the game close enough that, you know, whereas a young team, when the game's close, sometimes they make mental mistakes because everybody just tightens up. Well, the Tennessee Titans, with their veteran leadership in situations like that, even now with Joshua Dobbs underneath center, you figure we at least have that advantage. Our advantage is our veteran led team. Their disadvantage is they have a bunch of young guys. Really good, really good coach, but they're a bunch of young guys. And maybe, just maybe, in situations like this, they may do some things uncharacteristic of them because they're trying so hard to win this game. Whereas the Titans, you know, it's, we've been here before. We understand what we need to do. We just need to get it done. So, I mean, their experience may kick in here, but sometimes, even with experience, talent is talent. And if you are facing a more talented team with a superior quarterback, then that might be the thing that tips the scale for the team that's young.
The thing for me, though, Derek, is even though he doesn't have the experience and this is his second career start, I've listened to Josh Dobbs over the course of the last 2 weeks. I've listened to people talk about Josh Dobbs over the course of the last 2 weeks. And it's like, it just – he's very cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. And to me, I mean, what else do you want? I mean, obviously, he's got to go in and command the offense and make the plays, but he's going to have Derrick Henry back, which I think is an advantage for him. It feels like he, because of just, you know, how smart he is, he's been able to study the playbook and understand the playbook in a short amount of time. But the fact that he just doesn't have, or at least appear to have, any pressure – that's what you want if you're Mike Vrabel, in my opinion.
Well, you do, but last week there was no pressure on anybody. The Dallas Cowboys, the Tennessee Titans, so much so that Vrabel chose not to play a handful of players. So it's like, okay, go out there and just play. Try not to, you know, in your mind you're thinking, please don't let nobody else get injured. Even though Adams did get injured and now he's gone for this game, you want to get through a game like that. There's no pressure. Dobbs is – it's sort of him – figuring things out under a non-pressure situation. Now, he's going to be, in a sense, because it's his first start, his complete first start, so there's going to be some jitters in there. But I think after a couple of minutes, as you know, underneath center, those jitters were gone, and he just played. He understood, listen, the magnitude of this, whatever happens this game, it doesn't matter. What I need to do is get ready and make sure I know everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars game. This game is just something to help me kind of get off the rust. But then the Jacksonville Jaguar game is the game that we need to win.
Yeah, well, and Chase and I talked a lot about, you know, can the Titans score as many points as the Jags? We've seen the Jags be able to have big games, put up 30, almost 40 points a game, whereas the Tennessee Titans, they've only scored 27 points. Now you have a new quarterback, and now Treylon Burks didn't practice yesterday, is questionable. Vrabel thinks that he will play on Saturday. How much of a factor do you think that could be, D-Mace, if Treylon Burks isn't able to be there at full strength? You know, they don't have a lot of offensive weapons, and it was clear that Dobbs and Treylon had a pretty good connection in that Thursday night football game.
Yeah, they did. You know, whether it be, you know, the deep pass downfield, You know, he had an over route where Dobbs booted to the right, whether it was the reverse, whether, you know, the pass right before the half. Those are the things that Treylon Burks gives you. He gives you that potential to have an explosive play when he's on the field. When he's off the field, now you got to find where are we going to get these explosive plays from. Well, you got one from Racy McMath. Yes, but you got to be consistent in that. You know, you got to, it has to show up in this game as well. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars understand and realize, listen, we got to watch these particular receivers. They may not have a bunch of yards, but they are capable of making plays, and Dobbs is going to look for them. That's one thing I do like about Dobbs is that he tries to spread the ball around to everybody. He tries to keep the defense off balance. He's not looking for one particular person, but, you know, he finds a way to get everybody else into the game. And when you do that as a quarterback, that puts a lot of pressure on the secondary because they don't know who you're throwing to. And he managed to do a good job at that early in the game. And then he sort of found his guys he knew he could depend on, whether it was Woods or Hooper or Treylon Burks. Those were the three guys he was really toward the end of the game throwing it to.
Well, and then obviously you're going to have Derrick Henry back there as well, who he didn't have, your number one offensive threat. But, teammates, I have a question just for you. Like, when you were in the league and, you know, whenever you were changing to a different team, how hard is it to learn a new team's offense and just put in perspective to some people what Josh Dobbs was able to do in the 8 days and get out there on the field and now what he's able to, you know, potentially do after being in the building for
He never learned the Jets offense. That's why they traded his ass.
Yeah, I was like, let me get out of here. But
you're like, yeah, this ain't for me. Peace.
It's as hard as you make it. It's just like anything. If you put the time in it, it's not necessarily going to be easier, but you're going to be able to pick it up a little bit quicker. You're going to be able to, you know, go out and absorb the playbook. And not to say that you're not going to make any mistakes, because you are still, even if you've been in the system 3 or 4 years. But what it allows you to do is to go out there and play with some confidence. So for me, I didn't have a problem with learning playbooks. I really didn't. Whether it was me getting drafted.
Education?
Yeah, I guess it was. Whether it was coming here to Tennessee. Because my thing was, I'm going to bury my head in this book. And because now it's my job. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm going to bury my head in this book, forget everything else, and I'm going to make sure that I learn everything I need to learn in regards to this offense, because the more I learn, the quicker I learn it, the faster I get on the field. When I went to Baltimore, I learned the offense like that. It didn't take me any time because my priority was to learn this playbook and to help out a young quarterback as much as I could. At the time, it was Kyle Bowler. So for me, just like Joshua Dobbs, I'm sure it hasn't taken him much time to learn the concepts. Now, him getting used to different receivers, that's something totally different. You got to have a bunch of reps at that. But as far as like learning the offense, like base and figuring out what they want to do in concepts, I'm sure he figured that out in the first week and a half.
We will have more with Derek Mason. He's going to finish the show with us before Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace takes over at 11. What makes the Jacksonville Jaguars a dangerous team? We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, they're confident. It is coming together. I think the quarterback has started to elevate everybody else's play. And I probably said to you back then as well, look, Travis Etienne, like he, you know how you watch a game and there are some players and you're like, you know, I know all these guys are fast, but man, he looks fast among a bunch of fast guys. Like that's how Travis Etienne looks. Much like I think people felt that way about Tony Pollard when they'd see him come in the game after Zeke Elliott and they'd be like, you know what, he's got another gear. I think that, look, that's Travis Etienne. And so he has helped quite a bit, you know, with their offense, just his explosiveness in the run game, in the screen game. And so I think with that, and then I think Trevor has elevated his play in a way that I think he's made the receivers better. I think they're a really dangerous football team because the quarterback, if you just go back to how people thought of him when he was being evaluated out of college, kind of one of these guys that, like, I think people felt like he could play at a level, an MVP-type level at some point in his career. I think he's trending in that direction. So, you know, when you have that type of play out of that position, I think it matters. And then defensively, you know, they've continued to be a competitive group with guys playing hard. And, you know, I think the Dallas game is probably the best example of, you know, why that matters for their team.
That's Tim Hasselbeck from Caroline Willie and D-Mace on Wednesday. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in just a few minutes. Tim talking about the Jags being a dangerous team. I think they're a dangerous team, D-Mace. Derek Mason is here with us. I think they are. I think that they have confidence that the Titans don't right now. You know, you brought it up earlier, like, you know, who's more talented. I think they do have more of the talent right now. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think this team, this roster, is built for a Super Bowl yet? No. But I remember sitting here in August when we were talking about going into the season, and all three of us, you and Willie and I, all said, like, look, I don't know if this is a playoff team, but this team's going to be better. And mm-hmm. and they got the right coach. They got a Super Bowl winning coach. He can develop the franchise quarterback. Travis Etienne, who Tim referenced, coming back and being on the team, I think, has been huge. And he's had a very, very good de facto rookie year since he missed all of last year. I think they're a dangerous team.
Yeah, they are, because they're well coached. You know, the quarterback, anytime you have a quarterback of Lawrence's caliber, it instantly makes you a contender in a sense, or it makes you, you know, a team that can be very dangerous. You know, during the season or even in the playoffs, because of his ability to play the game. This is when he came out, it's when he got in college, everybody, this is the next Peyton Manning or whoever else. He was a generational quarterback. And now he's starting to show it under, you know, good tutelage from Peterson. So with him, you're always going to be a danger to anybody else. But then what they've done now, if they've surrounded him with some good talent, both veteran talent and some young talent, and this team is starting to figure out how to win games. They've been in just about every game, with the exception of the Detroit Lions in a game they played in London where it was probably Lawrence's worst game this season. This team has been in striking distance mm-hmm. each and every game. And now they're figuring out how to win these games. Now, you know, if they don't fumble the ball versus Dallas, they beat Dallas without even going into overtime. This is a team that is each and every week, they're gaining confidence. They're believing that they can win against anybody in the National Football League. And their coach is putting them in positions to succeed. And guys that were brought or drafted to be really good players, but for some reason they didn't show up in previous years, they're showing up now. Christian Kirk has been a huge addition yeah. to this Jags team. Evan Engram, former first-round pick. Everybody thought his better days were in New York because of the injuries. He has elevated his game as well. So this team, because they have young talent, they're going to be dangerous to any and everybody they play. You can overlook them if you want to. You can say, well, they haven't played anybody if you want to. But you don't want to – this is a situation that the Tennessee Titans don't or didn't want to be in.
Well, and we were talking, just fans calling in, texting. I mean, they have their franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. and they look like they have the best future moving forward. So you want to get this division title if you're the Tennessee Titans. You don't know what your team is going to look like next year, whereas this young Jags team is really surging. And we had Mia O'Brien. She does sports talk radio in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. We had her on this morning, and she said, you know, after that London game, Trevor Lawrence said he almost had like a flip switched in his head mm-hmm. of how he was performing, and he threw that pick at the end of that game. And since then, since week 9, he has had a 14-2 touchdown to mm-hmm. interception ratio, performing at such a high level. We saw him in the Jets game looking super, super confident. Tennessee Titans weren't able to get any sacks on him last mm-hmm. time they were here in Nashville. How important is Jeffrey Simmons and DeNico going to be, just as far as, you know, even if they're not getting sacks, but affecting Trevor Lawrence and trying to shake him up a little bit?
Well, it's going to be very important for them to get pressure. If they're not getting sacks, you got to get pressure. You got to get your hands up. Force him to do some things that he's not comfortable with doing. But also, when you're rushing up the middle, those two ends better be collapsing the pocket on either side. Because if you rush up that middle, then Trevor Lawrence is getting to the outside. And this young man is a damn good athlete. You know, he can run for a first down. He can run for a 50-yard gain. So you have to keep him. When I'm pushing that pocket up front, those ends have to keep him in a pocket in order to limit what he can do from a passing and running standpoint. But you have to affect him up front. And I think by having DeNico back and Jeffrey back, I think it only bodes well for the Tennessee Titans. Now, they have some injuries in the secondary. So if you're not getting to the passer, then it's going to be a long day for you trying to stop Jacksonville from throwing the football. Because now Trevor Lawrence feel, listen, I can throw it to Zay Jones. I can throw it to Marvin Jones. I can throw it to Christian Kirk. I can throw it to Evan Ingram, ETN. I got like five or six guys that I can throw it to. And you know the good part about it? Is Doug Peterson understands it, and he's making it so everybody can catch the ball.
Oh, I mean, they – and Mia was talking about earlier, like, his play calling is so creative, and you can just tell the good coaching. Obviously, we all know the situation last year with Jacksonville and how it has changed. But, Dime, as you mentioned, the secondary for the Tennessee Titans, Monty Hooker told Joe in the locker room yesterday that he plans on playing. But I think the biggest question is whether or not they have Christian Fulton back there.
Yeah, it is. Last week, that secondary, you know, had a lot of penalties. Well, had two really crucial penalties at the end because of lack of you know, you're not in the right position, you're getting outside of what you're supposed to do in regards to playing the cornerback position. They need Fulton back. But here's the problem. Even having Fulton back with a groin or whatever.
And a hamstring.
Hamstring. He could leave the game, too. He can be out of the game just as quick as he was in the game. So that's something we need to watch. They have no more Adams is gone. He got hurt last week, and he was a guy that they depended on. Mm-hmm. And now you got a sort of hobbled Fulton, and you're hoping and praying that he can get through the game. Uh-huh. What if he can't get to the game? Now what do?
You hope you stop him up front.
Exactly. You got to hope that those guys up front, Autry, Simmons, Bud Dupree and those guys can get to the passer enough where it disrupts what they want to do from a passing standpoint.
Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. D-Mace won. Thank you for coming in early.
No problem.
Thanks for hanging.
We're
going
to do this. Absolutely. To repay the favor, I'm going to hang with you for a second.
Oh, there we go.
Because
I like that.
UC Saros had a heck of a night.
Oh, did he?
Night,
so man. What do you have, about 100 saves?
Yeah, he just made another one.
He's still there. He's still out there.
So that is coming up next. Have a great weekend. Chase and Michelle, great debut week for us. We will break it all down. We'll see what happens Saturday night in Jacksonville. We're back at it at 9 on Monday, but stick around. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is next.